Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. Thank you for joining us on this, what seems to be a sunny day up in North Yorkshire, today. I hope it's sunny where you are. Well, I'm super excited today, firstly, because I've got an amazing guest who I'm going to introduce to you soon, but also the My Green Pod September edition, the organic edition of the magazine, is out today. So if you haven't seen it yet, you need to go to mygreenpod.com and click on magazine. You can download a free copy. It's full of loads of cool stuff. Obviously, the organic is the theme, but there's lots and lots of other stuff. I thought I'd read out to you today what my editor, Katie, who is also my lovely wife, has written about this particular magazine. So it says today, welcome to My Green Pod magazine. There are many moments to celebrate in September. Each brings an opportunity for gratitude, but also a call to consider climate justice, which is linked to today's guest, and look at the current challenges through an intersectional lens. Organic September asks us to recognise all the people flying the flag for a more sustainable farming system with planetary, human and animal health at its heart, and to acknowledge that producing food this way isn't easy. Organic farmers and suppliers are currently working against a system with little or no support. And this means organic produce, widely found to be the healthiest option out there, is often a more expensive option that isn't available to everybody, while ultra-processed foods are accessible to individuals and families juggling the smallest budgets. That's wrong, isn't it? Surely we should have access to organic and healthy and natural food rather than easily accessible ultra-processed food. There is something wrong with that system, people. Farming in a sustainable way is key to ensuring global food security as we continue to experience, here we go, droughts, floods, fires, and other extreme weather events, which are happening right now. I had a call yesterday from my friends in Bolivia running a project there. They've had nearly 500,000 hectares of the Amazon rainforest burned down in Brazil, Paraguay, and Bolivia. That's huge. I've not seen it once covered on our news. Have you? What's going on there? As many as 783 million people currently go hungry. And that's at a time when there is more than enough food to go around. It says here, hunger and resource scarcity are key drivers to conflict and important considerations as we move towards the United Nations International Day of Peace, which is on the 21st of September. This will lead us to Climate Week, NYC, 22nd to 29th, and a solar broadcast from Times Square to celebrate climate action with arts, music, inspiring talks and speeches. And there's a poem coming from today's guest. Shh. In this issue, you'll find tips on how to live a low-budget organic lifestyle and meet individuals who have devoted their lives to creating a fairer future for everyone. There's a lot to celebrate, and there are many heroes to champion. They're all working behind the scenes to create the lifestyles we can so easily take for granted. So that is the opening piece for today's issue of My Green Pod, which is online digitally. You can get it. In fact, if you haven't subscribed yet, you can go to mygreenpod.com/subscribe and you'll always get a free copy of the magazine straight to your inbox. Now, just very quickly, if you don't know what My Green Pod is, essentially, it's an ethical lifestyle media company. It's an independent, family-run UK business founded by my wife and I. And we want to What we want to do is share the real stories behind the brands and people working tirelessly to offer ethical alternatives to mainstream products and services. Now, you might not see these options on the high street, and they may not be the first to appear in online searches, but they are on My Green Pod. So you can use our search engine, our search bar in the site, anything you're interested in, whether it's walking or cycling or upcycling or recycling or organic food or whatever it might be, you can actually put in this in the search bar something that you're interested in, and we've got over 6,000 articles there, so something would definitely pop up, whether it's music related, etc., etc. So please do that, subscribe, sign up, and there's a little bit more in this magazine. One of our guest what sorry One of our features is today's guest. So I'm gonna do a little bit of a spoiler alert by reading out a bit of her bio. I mean, first of all, I heard this person who we're gonna call Hannah Sadani. Have I announced that correctly, Hannah?
Thank you, Jarvis. It's Hannah Senadi.
Senadi. Okay, my apologies. Thank you. I'm glad I asked you. So Hannah Senadi is today's guest. Before we speak, let me very quickly read out her bio. So, oh, that's naughty. I haven't turned off my noise here. Please excuse me. That's very unprofessional of me. Hannah Senadi. Yeah, is that right?
Senadi, yeah.
Senadi. I'm not going to get this right. I'm just going to say Hannah is a British Yemeni, award-winning sustainability advocate, an entrepreneurial and innovative thinker. Currently specializing in, and check this, environmental regeneration issues and sustainable urban development, which we're going to get into. Hannah holds a degree in environment and planning at University of Liverpool, and most recently getting accepted into her chartership and MSc at University of Oxford. Congratulations. In personal life, her approach to activism is through creativity, through art, and as a dancer and regular practicing yogi, as am I. As a student, Hannah has already managed more experiences than many have in a lifetime, from dedicating her life to protecting our planet. This is interesting. Listen to this. Hannah created and is developing a service dedicated to e-waste recycling, focused on the intersection between technology and climate change for healthier cities and a circular economy. She is also involved with the United Nations, that's the UNFCCC, the organizers of the COPs, and is currently, check this, the COP29 Partnerships Officer for Europe's largest climate youth NGO. After most recently being selected as the official UK youth delegate and climate policy lead to COP28, also, Hannah has been part of a scientific research in the most challenging locations, oceans, mountains, environments, to living, working in the heart of the rainforest. That's a brief introduction to Hannah. Now, I met Hannah at an amazing event at the RSA last year, or was it earlier this year? I can't remember now. It was quite recently, within the last 3 or 4 months. And she was on a stage with pretty kind of important people in the space. There was a scientist, and there was I can't remember exactly who it was. And I remember when Hannah spoke, she actually blew me away with her, firstly, her incredible articulation of the subject matter, but more importantly, she was speaking about things that a lot of people are scared of talking about. Hannah, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for welcoming me, Jarvis.
Not at all. It's an absolute pleasure. It's funny, you know, when I look at you, and I've got a 16-year-old daughter, and I don't mean this to be patronizing in any way, shape, or form, but you obviously clearly are a youth, a young person in comparison to me, yet you've done so much. Like, did you start at like 8 years old or something? Like, how did this all begin for you?
So actually, I am very lucky to have had an early start into the environmental space. At 17, I got a work placement at Tropical Rainforest Research and Conservation Centre, as you mentioned. And you know, this was something I had never even considered to do, but I had the opportunity after I got selected at a expedition on Raleigh International. And that was a part of the programme on there. And you know, I think, as I was saying to you before, coming from Liverpool, which is the northwest of the UK, you know, we never really get that much exposure to nature apart from, you know, the countrysides on the outskirts of Liverpool, which, you know, I was lucky enough to be brought up in that as well. But I had a very different upbringing in the sense of I was lucky that I had two different shared perspectives. You know, I got brought up in Toxteth, which is inner city Liverpool, but also, you know, like I said, the suburbs of Liverpool around the
Isn't
country.
Tuxtiff considered to be, sorry to cut you in, my grandfather is from just beside Toxteth, and I was always brought up to recognize it as being quite a rough area, quite a challenging area. Is that the case?
You know, now these days, it's definitely changing in the sense of gentrification, which is a topic I can talk about later as well. However,
Yeah.
it is still one of
Everywhere is being gentrified now,
the,
isn't it?
right? But it is still the one of the most deprived cities in the UK. You know, Toxteth is known mostly for its riots, stereotypically,
Yeah.
that happens in the 80s, 90s. That also happens then a decade later on. But now I think what people need to start sharing more of the word of about Toxteth is that it's actually a community of vibrancy, of music, of art. I think people, you know, who think of Liverpool, they're very quick to judge or create a stereotype,
Yeah.
but it's far from it when you're actually there, when you're in the heart of the community. You know,
Yeah.
there's positivity, and especially around arts and activism, which it is very lucky to have. However, you know, it doesn't mean it's perfect. It's developing, it's definitely changing. But that's with the help of the people. That has only happened because of the people.
Yeah. It's
That's
funny, you know, what I'm hearing you say is, and I you know, this is such a buzzword at the moment, is the culture of a place. It's like, yeah, we can talk about deprived areas, and yes, of course, this is a massive issue, but if it's got a culture, if it's got a scene, you know, and that does keep people together, right? I think what's happening now is which is a bit of a problem, is, you know, globalization is trying to create this kind of global culture, and then it's polarized, because you've got kind of one end that they want you to be, and the other end, which is we don't want you to be, and therefore you've got to choose, and that's just rubbish. What do you think about culture, this kind of thing that's being branded around at the moment as being important? Do you have any? I know you're wise, so I'd love to hear your take on it.
I think it's something extremely important to embrace and something that you shouldn't forget to share with people who have differences from you as well. I'm actually mixed race from a Yemeni and English background. From both my parents, they're from totally different backgrounds. So I learned to embrace both. And also, you know, I grew up with a multi-faith background as well.
Yeah.
Muslim, however, you know, going to school, I went to Catholic schools, and not for any particular reason, just because they were probably one of the best schools in that area. But also, that gave me the, you know, chance to see the beauty in people's differences, but also how it connects us. Also, I do think it's very important, but you know, embrace your own, but also embrace other people's. You know, that's what I love about the beauty of that, the fact that we can actually celebrate, you know, people's different celebrations or ceremonies. It's about unity. That's what
Yeah.
culture is about for me. And so
I agree. I can really relate to that because I'm mixed race. My dad's Indian, my mum's English. Dad actually came from Africa, but originally from India. Ended up in England, and then so I was brought up with these kind of multi diverse, unified ways of living. And you have to, one minute I'm at a gospel church, next minute I'm eating Indian food, next minute I'm at my kind of posh uncle's, and it's like, whoa, you get these amazing different cultures all in one. So now I totally relate to that, and that actually answers a lot about, just in the short time that I've known you, about your wisdom and what's brought you to being so wise. What made you get on the environmental tip then? I mean, you're flying a flag, particularly in Liverpool. You can tell me about your project in a minute, but what was the wake up call for you when it comes to, I mean, what do you care about more? Climate crisis, the environment, biodiversity, the climate issues around poverty. What's your big kind of connection?
So I can share my story with that firstly.
Definitely, yes. So we got 4 minutes till we have to go to a commercial break. So don't feel rushed. If you need to have a break, we'll have a commercial break. We'll come back to the story. But just so you know, I am going to have to cut you in a moment. But go on, let's go for the story. Yes.
So my most important thing with that is public health within climate change and biodiversity in cities. So my degree was in environmental science and planning, and most of my research has been around that. However, I realized it actually had a personal connection to me when I was diagnosed with cancer my first year of university. Now, although I had an early start of a work placement at the Tropical Rainforest Research Conservation Centre in Borneo, that was a work placement at the time. It was not something I thought, I really want a career in this. It wasn't personal to me to an extent where I've seen so many beautiful things and exposure to deforestation and a real wake-up call. However, when I was in my first year of university, those 2 years later, when I got diagnosed with that, that's when I really started to do my research and, okay, how can I avoid this in the future when I finally do survive cancer, when I'm in remission? And I had nothing else to do in hospital other than, research, be by myself on my laptop, because it was also COVID during the time.
Oh my goodness me. And
Yeah.
just to be clear, you were diagnosed with cancer, you ended up in hospital, and you spent the time researching how to become fit and healthy so you could recover from this.
Yep, that's how it started. And
Yeah.
then I discovered air pollution and how air pollution, there's so many different types, and that in Western countries in particular, we are exposed to many different types, just like we have to deal with particles, and these particles are so small, we can breathe them in and it goes deep into our lungs. These are usually called PM2.5 that I learn. And we also have a gas in cities called nitrous oxide, which many people obviously will
Yeah.
know. And that's, of course, emitted from the vehicles off the roads. And, being from inner city Liverpool as well, I knew I was at risk of that. And even outside of the city realm, even in the UK, we sometimes have ozone episodes, and this gas is especially bad as it's really, really reactive. We don't so much have this in the UK, actually, but more hotter countries have this as a much bigger problem. However, the list goes on. Sulfur dioxide these days, not so bad in the UK. However, the consequence is still really bad. And I asked the question, why is this so significant that I'm being exposed to this? Because it will make me more sick in the future and many other people. And that's how I started that journey of, right, if I've got nothing else to do, let me share the words of this. And then over time, it literally became my purpose for life, and that's, I think, the beauty in my cancer diagnosis. It gave me a reason. And that's why it's such an important and passionate topic for me, because it is really my reason that made me keep on going. It kept me resilient throughout the treatment. And when I weren't allowed visitors in the hospital, I was only, I think, like 20 to 22, in and out. I had different surgeries at the time, and it was very long road, but that kept me occupied and kept my mind off things, and here we are. So yeah.
Wow. I mean, that firstly, I'm just moved by the beginning of this story. I mean, essentially what you're saying is that You had a real will and a desire and a passion to get yourself healthy. And I'm sure lots of people can relate to that. I know our producer has had not such a dissimilar story. So love to you, Johan, for your journey. Let's come back to this in a minute. There's so many questions I want to ask you. The hairs on the back of my neck are standing up because you've moved me. But let's go to commercial break. Hang on tight, everybody. We're going to come back to Hannah and find out the next bit of her story. Thank you.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Jarvis Smith on UK Health Radio. My show, Lean Into Clean. I'm in conversation with Hannah. She was just sharing with me, firstly, just an extraordinary story of getting cancer at such a young age, ending up in hospital, and then doing as much research as possible to find out how she could, firstly, eliminate, and secondly, make sure that this doesn't happen again. Hannah, you got into, I mean, it sounds like the air pollution thing was the kind of the first kind of real opening up for you in terms of your research. You've mentioned PM2.5, which I don't think probably many listeners will even know what that is, but you can tell us again. Obviously, the nitric oxide that comes from exhausts, particles in the air. I mean, all this stuff. So, are you essentially saying that you felt intuitively, or was there a diagnosis that your condition was linked to the toxicity of your environment?
So that's a question I often ask myself a lot through the diagnosis, that question of why. You know, as someone who was very young, I was very healthy, fit, brought up with athletics, different sports, and still continued that at the time. Yeah, extremely healthy. I had no other reason for why this happened. I didn't drink alcohol. I didn't smoke. So that was a big thing for me. Perhaps was it because I was exposed to so much air pollution in the cities? However, I suppose you can never truly know, and that is also a big part of post-cancer, actually, is don't beat yourself up too much about, oh, why me? You know, especially if you're someone who had such a healthy lifestyle like myself from a young age, you can really go blue in the face if you start asking yourself those questions. However, you know, it's important to acknowledge and it's important to learn about so you can avoid it, but also help solve this issue. And that's when I came across environmental planning, because I was always fond and fascinated about the idea of trees being able to absorb air pollution. And I had direct experience of that when I was 17 at the Tropical Rainforest Research and Conservation Centre. We planted hundreds, and even still now I'm at a local park group where we ongoing plant trees. So I always thought, well, is this the only solution to combat air pollution, or is it some sort of green facade? And that's when my research started, and I realized there's so many more things we can do as designers, as urban designers, as architects, as planners, that can make cities not only sustainable but resilient. So I think, yeah, that's, sorry, I kind of forgot the question.
No, you're telling us your story. There wasn't really a question. This is just like, you're literally unfolding your story. And what's beautiful to hear is, and I mean, of course, you know, anybody that's listening, the first and number one thing we can do is protect the environment that we've got already. So where there are trees and where there are shrubs and where there are, you know, sea kelps and things like that, let's protect them. And then the next thing we can do is get more trees and sea kelps and mangroves in the ground, which is sounds like you're heavily involved in that. But what I'm hearing is that you actually went much deeper than that, and you went, well, hold on a minute, what else can be done? So this is amazing. There was no question, but tell me the next bit. So you were inspired by finding out that there were other things that you could do. So what did you do?
Well, within my research, I realized that sustainability was such a buzzword, and it's not something that's kind of just came about, which a lot of people are acting as if they've just discovered something brand new in the realm of urban development. However, indigenous architectures has always been extremely sustainable, and I argue as designers, as planners, as architects, we've unlearned the very principles that have had traditional architecture as its strength, like the simple things. I think we've got too carried away, especially as technology has developed. And I think that's an important thing to build awareness of, and I mean the simple things such as cross ventilation, comfort, protection, the notion of how the sun moves across the surface of the materials, or even the distance between the buildings in order to provide shade. However, now things are getting a lot more denser in cities. And we've unlearned these processes because we're relying so much on technology like AC or elevating, like I said, stuff we use to densify things. And unfortunately, we've ba abandoned those basic passive principles in law of these technical solutions. And I really think that's an error. So I think when planners and people within my industry, when we put these projects into position, we need to prioritize that strong passive design solutions. And that way, often projects need less, not more. In nature of their design, we can actually use a lot less energy for it to perform. And at that point, you really need to decide, what is the role of technology in this space? Is it to enhance or overpower? And that's a huge topic right now in sustainable cities. It's really, really fascinating. But that's one thing I've done, which is open up more questions within that research.
You opened a can of worms, yeah.
And also, I've started my own projects as well. So currently, I'm working on something called Urban Upcycle. And this is an interactive platform for people interested in e-waste, but also for sustainable businesses and recycling providers to connect. If you have a lot of electric waste, you don't know where exactly to donate it to, perhaps you want to sell it, we can put you on our directive platform, and it's free to use. And when you sign up to this as a su subscriber, you get access to blogs, you get access to sustainability events around the UK. And the directive, sorry, not directive, the directory is primarily based for UK. However, right now, as I'm developing it and looking for sponsors to support me with this, I would definitely like to expand it and hopefully make it beyond an online platform. So
Nice. So
that's your
just to be clear, if people are wanting to get rid of any electrical goods or anything that kind of fits into that category, this is old computers, phones, microwave, whatever it might be, right? Then they can go to urban, is it urbanupcycle.com?
urbanupcycle.com. And this is something I started in university as a passion project. I've just finished my degree now, and it's free. So yeah, you have
Nice.
access to all things e-waste. And if you want to join that directory, please do, because that it's not something that gets talked about a lot, because people automatically assume, oh, the number one thing that gets polluted is plastics. But actually, on the topic of technology, what I was talking about is that is one of the top things that's getting polluted, especially even when you think of things like vapes in Liverpool, for example. That's the number one thing I'm noticing on an everyday basis, disposable vapes. And it's awful. It's like there's so many things that kind of goes unnoticed. But when you actually these things, it won't go unnoticed. You'll notice it everywhere, and it becomes a very overwhelming thought. So that's when I decided, let me try and do something and see where it goes. And
No,
so
good for
far.
you. Good for you. It's amazing. It's amazing. Gosh, there's so many things I want to come back to. I mean, it's particularly the thing that you talked about, these indigenous communities around the world that understood their relationship with nature, therefore used materials and goods that were firstly local, secondly, they wouldn't overuse them, thirdly, they would Do it in appreciation and honor of the planet, of nature, this, I believe, this conscious, living, breathing being that has been around a lot longer than us and will be around a lot longer than us. And we've just got to decide whether we're part of that journey with the universe or not. So I love that. I'm hearing also the biophilic kind of nature of design, which is a very good friend of mine. Funnily enough, we had him on as a guest, Oliver Heath, back in the day. He's one of the world's leading experts, and that's very much about, kind of working with nature essentially, and using the wisdom and the materials of nature that are natural. This is great. I'd like to, if it's all right with you, if it feels like an appropriate moment, let's go to one of your songs. As you know, I always ask my guests, bring two songs along that are soundtracks to the climate crisis for you, or soundtracks to your lifestyle, or the way that you show up in the world. You've chosen two great songs, and we're going to go with your first one. Tell us the first song that you've chosen. Don't tell me why. We're going to listen to it, and then we'll come back to why you chose it at the end. So, which song are you going for?
John Lennon, Imagine.
John Lennon, Imagine, an absolute classic. Here it is. Such a beautiful song. Every time I hear that song, it touches me in a slightly different way. I want to ask you in a minute, after I've asked you why you chose that song, why do you think there aren't any protest songs in the mainstream these days with such a important pressing issue? But firstly, tell me, Hannah, why did you choose Imagine by John Lennon? What does it do for you?
Okay, well, I'll start with the obvious answer. So obviously, because John Lennon, the Beatles, I'm from Liverpool, so holds a very special place in my heart. Mainly of the meaning of the song, it reminds me of my journey in the climate space when I found my community. I think it's very much so, obviously, about the planet, but about people and the sense of unity. And when I was in a really bad place in my life, not only did I discover an academic subject which I loved, I discovered a community. And literally, like, honestly, I've met so many people around the world with so many different walks of life. And a lot of my work outside of university, it comes with great opportunities where, we've made amazing friends from it. A lot of young people are starting to, increasingly become part of the climate movement. So that's what it reminded me of, just, friends and community and unity.
Nice. Let me just ask you quickly before we go on to that other question. Just, what do you mean by community? I mean, I know there's the obvious, but for you, what is community?
Looking after each other and being kind, I think it's one of the most simple things, but a lot of people don't practice, well, I suppose people do practice it, but it can definitely get neglected sometimes. And just even smiling at someone, or giving them a nice word, a nice compliment will truly make their day. And I think that's something to keep doing, like, regardless of what's happening in your life. Sometimes I know things can be hard. Sometimes perhaps people can maybe see your moody side or whatever, but it's important to be kind. That's it. It's that simple. I think a lot of our problems in the world would go away if people were nicer to each other.
Yeah, I
So
agree. I agree. I mean, and your smile, those of you that can't see Hannah's smile radiates, and I'm sure you make people feel good everywhere you go. I can imagine that. I remember listening to your panel talk. Certainly Michelle and I, Michelle from Om, who we'll talk about in a minute, we both independently said she was amazing, that girl. I think we both came up to you separately afterwards. So thank you for inspiring us. I'm always touched by, I've been doing this a long time, this climate kind of awareness campaign, at least 15 years, if not longer. And sometimes I do feel a bit tired. It's like, come on, I've been doing this every day for 15 years and like not much has changed. It seems to be getting worse. And then I see people like you and I'm like, yes, there is young, forces of nature happening. So thank you for being that voice, that, gracious being in a community, a commune of unity, I think is a better word. So it's people do really understand. We're going to have to go to another commercial break, which I know is annoying, but it's great for the channel. So stick with the adverts. Get back to us shortly afterwards, and we'll be back with Hannah to go into our final phase. Hannah, thank you. We'll see you in a second.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Jarvis Smith, UK Health Radio, Lean Into Clean. Having a really lovely deep conversation with our today's guest, a young UN youth ambassador, heavily involved in the movement, really focused on environmental urban issues, has their own business, urbanupcycle.com. If you want to upcycle any of your electrical goods, do sign up to that. Hannah, I did ask a question. I never got the answer. So let's just do that quickly. Why do you think, you know, you come from Liverpool, you come from a city that has, you know, great music and culture, has you know, has had some of, well, I mean, certainly one of the world's biggest bands who actually use their music to, you know, to make a difference, you know, the Vietnam War and, you know, the whole peace movement. And then imagine that John Lennon song and, you know, he went on a hunger strike and, you know, George Harrison and Paul McCartney, you know, Ringo Starr, all the guys were just amazing. They used the power of media to make a better world, to create and, you know, influence a world. Why do you think that doesn't happen today? Like, what's going on in our arts?
Really good question. A question which I think we all have on a daily basis as well. I suppose a big thing of it is relatability. Not everyone can relate to bad news. So that goes by public interest. I think a lot of these media outlets, I think perhaps the priority might be on engagement rather than a responsibility.
Yeah.
And in particular to the climate crisis, I think there's a huge bias as well towards it. And of course, we all know there's definitely not enough getting done from a government standpoint. I'm not here to blame the government, but of course, that plays a huge role in it. It's very much connected to the media in the sense that I think, yeah, just more awareness of it, but also I think there's a lack of responsibility by these news outlets, relating it to climate change, at least. But also sometimes there's really positive news and it doesn't get shown. Like in Liverpool, for example, it's constantly got a really negative stereotype, especially everywhere I have been within government spaces. I am often always the, if not the only, northern young woman there. I'm always the only Scouser there, especially in the United Nations spaces. And when I do have conversations with people, I do often come across a lot of prejudice about the city and the people. And we have noticed over time we've never got good light in the media, but I don't know why, because so many positive things are happening. I hope to be the change of that, that local people are doing great things and there's so much more to the city than bad news. And it goes towards a lot of things. I think you get good and bad everywhere.
Yeah, well, I think you're a great voice for the city. You're a great voice for the movement. You're a great voice for equality and, you know, and women having a voice. You're a great voice for the youth. I always feel a bit wary about saying that, but you are younger than me, so I guess I'm allowed. But no, it's great. Tell me a bit more about what you're doing at COP29. So you've got this kind of role that you're playing, haven't you?
So this year at COP29, I'm the partnerships officer for Europe's largest climate NGO, and I'm also attending as a delegate. I've been going for the last few years now. My first COP was at Egypt, which was COP27 in Sharm el-Sheikh. I was a part of the UNFCCC, the United Nations Framework on Climate Change delegation representing the UK. And then following COP28 in Dubai, which was the most recent one, I was the official UK youth delegate. So there was only a team of a few of us. And I was very lucky to get selected to be a part of that. And I was also a policy lead for that group. So that was my role there.
Amazing.
It's going to be in Azerbaijan. So very, very exciting. And I think it's going to be interesting because I won't be attending as a student this time. So it'll be quite...
Oh, you'll be a grown-up. You'll be an official grown-up.
Yeah, no longer a university student. At least, I suppose, at the time when I've been attending these, it's been very hard with assignments and things like that. I'll have a bit more freedom to really, really get stuck in this time.
Yeah, nice, nice. So it's more about having a bit more time to focus on stuff. Well, listen, I'm going to be there. I'm actually running a couple of panels on the Extreme Hangout stages. I've got your name penciled in, so hopefully you'll be free. We're doing one on culture, funnily enough. And I've got A.Y. Young on it, and I've got Trevor Stewart, who is the founder of All Saints, the clothing label, who's set up his own label now to never make another garment. His whole label is going to be built around upcycling, which is going to be music to your ears. He was a guest on last week's show, so you might want to listen to that. So, okay, so we're going to be at COP. We're also going to be at another event this time next week on Saturday for Peace Day on the 21st of September. You're going to be on the stage in New York. I'm going to be on the stage in New York. Tell me what you're up to and what you're going to be doing for Peace Day.
Oh, well, apart from the event, spread my positivity. On. And honestly, I'm just so happy and grateful to have this opportunity alongside such a wonderful group like yourselves at OM. And I think just the magic of New York City, I don't know if anyone listening has been or has plans to go, but when you are there, it really does have an aura which wants, it brings you back every time, or at least makes you want to come back every time. And I think that in itself, for me, brings me peace just being in New York City and being inspired. You know, again, if anyone has been there, you can see so many different things, you know, a lot of unexpected things as well, good and bad. And it's just really a place where if you want to get your mind blown, if you want to
go to New York,
go to New York, anything goes. So that's what I'll be doing. Just taking in everything really and getting inspired.
Yeah, great. And you're going to be just for those of you that are listening, what we're talking about is a trip to New York. I try not to do many trips because I'm not keen on flying, but sometimes you can have such a big impact. And I try to live a fairly sustainable lifestyle. But I do not fly too often. But this event is 21st of September. It's for Peace Day, which is part of the UN, for, you know, peace, International Peace Day. Hannah and I are both going to be there as representatives for OM. So if you want to find out more about OM, you can go to ompresents.org. That's OMMM. presents.org. So both Hannah and I are OM ambassadors. Go and check out what we're up to. Check out the other OM ambassadors. Join the movement. We're going to be coming up with some cool campaigns. But just so you know, on the day, there is going to be some beautiful meditations with people like Sister Jenna and Lama Tashi. There's going to be some poetry, I think, from Hannah, if I got that correct. So that's where the poem bit came in. So sorry, I know you thought, oh my God, he's going to ask me to do a poem on air. No, I'm not at all. We can save that for the 21st. And then there's a bunch of musicians. There is going to be, and this is how Hannah and I both met. We met through A.Y. Young, who is the only American UN youth ambassador alongside Hannah. He is a sustainability musical artist, singer-songwriter. He's got a project called Project 17, where he's doing 17 songs in alignment with the SDGs. He's amazing. And then there's Mandy Mayhem. There's Natnam Kaur, who's brilliant. And yours truly is going to be there singing live my song Save the World that we did with Greta Thunberg at Fridays for Future Mapper, which we're going to play at the end of the show. So it's going to be an amazing show. You can watch it broadcast live. So go to onpresents.org, pick up the details, and you can watch that live. Hannah, we're running out of time. We do have about 5 minutes. So I want this 5 minutes to be your kind of moment. So you have now become elevated to world leader. We've put you in charge because I reckon you're going to be able to make things better for everybody. So, can you give us any tips on what can civil society do for climate action for a healthier planet? And these things are going to happen because you are now the leader.
Good question. And honestly, don't be surprised if that does happen, people, because anything can happen these days. But no,
Well, let's
I
make it happen. I think we could all entrust in you rather than the rubbish leaders that are around at the moment.
Oh, yeah, oh, most definitely. I'm always for the people, and I always have been. And if I'm ever in a role of representation, that is the number one priority. However, speaking when I am world leader, what I would like to do is, as a way to prioritize people, is making sure that we have a voice at policy tables. So, this is where diversity obviously is number one and very important. But, actually speaking to real people who are living these experiences and in relation to climate change in particular, because I think it's sometimes hard to think of solutions when you can't relate to people. And well, it's definitely possible, but it's not going to be as effective as it would be of, have lived their experiences before, or at least connecting to those people to a deep level. So, in relation to sustainable urban developments, bring the public into planning committees, for example. Something super simple, but I think more awareness should be done around that. That, if you're just someone who has nothing to do with that industry, you can actually have a say and a voice in your planning committees. And if you're not happy with things, you've got a voice there. But also on a deeper level, yeah, on policy tables, I think that's number one. Support, financial support, especially for young people. When you are coming from a place which doesn't have much opportunities, like myself coming from Liverpool, trying to, be in large spaces like United Nations HQ or, some very important event around the world, how are you going to get to that? Most of the time, you need sponsorship. And if you don't have your own money to do that, it's of course impossible. And if you make it happen, you're going into your own personal savings, and people are not going to do that. So I think there should be more government funding on young people, especially young people in the north of the UK. Most opportunities in the UK are always in London. That's okay. I don't mind a trip to London if I can, but not everyone's got the privilege to be able to do that. People work, people have a university, and oftentimes I haven't had the privilege to do that. So, support, funding, resources, and a change to the education curriculum. In, I believe, the GCSE curriculum, environmental science, like geography and biology, it's an optional subject. And climate change, of course, therefore won't be a priority, and people won't really know so much about it unless they choose to do the topic. It was definitely the case at my school, which was a few years ago now. I'm 23, but I think, yeah, changing that, making sure climate change is a priority, making sure that's not an optional subject, because it's not going to be an optional experience when we're living it really badly in the future. Because if, for example, just to put it into reference, the summer we had last year when we had really bad heat waves, according to be honest, I can't remember what statistic it was, but if you Google it, it is legitimate. By 2035, that is going to be an average summer for us. And that's very scary. You know, of course, people love a hot summer's day, but a heat wave that's going to keep getting worse. That's a reality. So that kind of puts it into perspective, I think. But yeah.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. So look, when you go for that leadership role, we're all going to vote for you, definitely. I
Thank
just
you.
want to make a correction as well. I gave out the website. It's .com at the end, so it's onpresents.com. You can get hold of Hannah through urbanupcycle.com. If you want to find out more about the Om Ambassadors, is ommmpresents.com, not .org. My apologies. If you want to get today's magazine, it's mygreenpod.com. Don't forget to subscribe to that. Hannah, in one sentence, very quickly, what's the thing that most annoys you about the world today?
Oh gosh, that's probably the hardest question you've asked me. Okay, number one thing. Oh no, let me think for a second. Perhaps the lack of kindness, because really that is something that is so important to me. It is such a simple thing, but
Beautiful.
I think genuinely we really need to make a conscious effort to just give a smile. Just give a compliment, just be nice. And, you know, people are going through a lot of things we don't know about. So be easy on people, but also be easy on yourself. Be kind to yourself.
I love that. Lack of kindness. Be kind, be easy on yourself, be easy on others. Spread a smile around the world. It could end up on the other side of the world easily and come all the way back to you. Hannah, you've been an absolute delight. Thank you so much. Looking forward to hanging out with you next week and ongoing at COP, etc. We're going to play out with my song Save the World, featuring Rita Mora. It's a cover of Swedish House Mafia's song from back in the early 90s. Every single play, download, etc. All of the money's donated to Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Futures Mapper. So what Hannah was talking about raising money for younger people that need to have a voice, that's what this song's all about. It doesn't cost you anything to play it. Get on Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, wherever. Play it 10 times a day for the next 100 days. We could raise £1 million. So thank you very much. It's been great. I'll see you next Monday. Thank you to my producer, Johan. We love you. 2 minutes of Save the World by Jarvis Smith. See you next week.